won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours. Sing it again. You won't relent. You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours. You won't relent until you have it. Do you give him all your heart today? You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours.
I'll set you as a seal upon my heart, as a seal upon my arm.
Upon
This is where we're at, though. This morning and next Sunday, I'm going to keep up the series of Jesus Changes Everything that we've had going on since Palm Sunday through Easter. Now we're stepping on into this what comes next. After Jesus crucified, after he has been raised up from the dead, where's it go next? What's happening after that? And I want to highlight to you our vision statement. Just in case you hadn't caught on to it, since it's only been on the bulletin every Sunday, this is part of the package that we then in turn live out through Connect, Grow, Serve, that we are looking at connecting people with Jesus Christ and with His church, growing as disciples of Jesus together, engaging together, that we could grow, and being able to serve the Lord in our church, in our community, in the world, and that we are investing in that. But this provides us with that kind of starting point grasp of what is our vision for our mission as Galloway. And this has been around for a while, and so if you haven't caught on to it, try saying it with me this morning. Transforming people through Christ, one relationship at a time. That's what our vision statement is. Transforming people through Christ, one relationship at a time. This morning, that it just falls right into place to be talking about this, because this, in fact, is the direction now that the Lord points us, that upon His resurrection, now He's starting to build something out of that. This is now the foundation upon which He can build. And this morning, we're going to talk about building. I've been a builder all my life. My dad was a contractor, had his own business, did a lot of remodeling, built some houses, all that kind of stuff. So I grew up building from the time that I was a kid. In fact, I mean, it was such a family business that sometimes the entire family was on the job. You know, that from the time I was like this big, I really don't know how people kind of put up with that. I'm not sure how people understood that a whole family came to their house to do their construction project. Yeah, we're here to remodel your bathroom. Here are the kids. They carry things. They shine the light, you know. They have skinny arms. They can reach in small places, you know. But that was the way it was. And I grew up doing that and building things. And I realize in my heart and soul, I am a builder. And look at ministry very much like that, as a builder. And there are things that we are called upon to build as Christians. And this morning, the scripture I want to take you to is a great passage for a builder to look at, because it talks about the construction project that the Lord's got underway with us. And this morning, I'm going to read this out of the Message. The Message is one of these, you know, very contemporary kind of paraphrases. But this particular passage, I just kind of loved the way that it put kind of that common language sort of punch to it. So I'm just going to share it with you out of the Message this morning. 1 Peter 2:4-10 says, "Welcome to the living stone, the source of life. The workman took one look at it and threw it out. Now God, though, set it in the place of honor. Present yourselves as building stones for the construction of a sanctuary vibrant with life, in which you'll serve as holy priests, offering Christ-approved lives up to God." The scriptures provide precedent. "Look, I'm setting a stone in Zion, a cornerstone in the place of honor. Whoever trusts in this stone as a foundation will never have cause to regret it." Now, to you who trust in Him, He's a stone to be proud of. But to those who refuse to trust Him, the stone the workman threw out is now the chief foundation stone. For the untrusting, it's a stone to trip over, a boulder blocking the way. They trip and fall because they refuse to obey, just as predicted. But you are the chosen one, the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do His work and speak out for Him, to tell others of the night and day difference He made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. great passage talking about building, that Jesus is the stone that the builders looked at and threw out, said, forget it, this isn't going to work. But God has set him up as the chief foundation stone, or the cornerstone. The cornerstone is the common way of expressing that, and that Jesus is the cornerstone. And look, the cornerstone of building is the key foundation. You can build a building with just four corners. You know, the space in between is really like a bridge between the corners, kind of stepping from this corner to this corner, because you've got to have the solid corners to carry and support that building. And that's why you talk about the cornerstone as that chief foundation stone. And Jesus is that chief foundation stone, says, but you and I, we are the building blocks then that he is building this temple out of. But this whole thing is living. It's living and vibrant. It's active. This is not dead stones that we're just piling up somewhere. But this is about a living, active engagement ministry. And so you get the spill out of it, describing us as priests who would offer up our lives before God, make these sacrifices before God that would be wonderful and would actually present him to the world. And so, great, great scripture for us to think about in building. Now, this morning in your bulletin for sermon notes, I gave you a picture. Yeah? Gave you a little picture. That today, this is the affirmation of people who don't really deal well with words. This is for the doodlers among us. This is your license to doodle today. It's like, have at it. Draw the pictures, fill in the blanks, do whatever you want to with it. But this is a great image, and it's an image that has been used by Billy Graham Ministries in their little pamphlet called Steps to Peace with God. It's an image that they've used for years in different variations, and probably other people have used the same sort of an image to be able to talk about God's work of salvation, and it puts it in terms of building a bridge. Now, this morning, I think that's going to help us to understand even more clearly this idea of what God is building, that Peter's talking about him building this holy temple that's alive, that's got stuff going on. And I think that really beginning to talk about that, even with the picture of a bridge in mind, might help us to even more so understand what the Lord is doing with us. Now, you got this thing then, building a bridge. All right, there's a gap, you see, that's created by sin. Sin creates a gap, a separation between you and me and God. Sin is not just breaking a rule, but it's about breaking that relationship, that connection with God. It's about doing your own thing and ignoring God. It's about rebelling against God. It's that thing that separates us then from God. It puts a gap between us and God. Sin is what creates that. In Colossians, and forgive me, I misspelled Colossians. Should be two S's, I know. But you can fix that anyway when you write it down. Colossians 1:21 says this. It says, this includes you who were once far away from God. And what it's talking about is the work of salvation that God brings to us. It says, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemy, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. That's where sin separates us from God. And so that here we are, parted with God. God is holy, good, righteous, faithful, and true. And here we are, unrighteous, unfaithful, rebellious, selfish, untrue. And so that there is this separation that we create in our lives between us and God. And we have no way to get ourselves to God. No way to get ourselves to God. Why? Because we all have fallen into sin. We all fall into that gap. Sin creates that gap, and we have all fallen into it. We all fall into sin. That's the gap. We've all got the gap, and we don't have a way to bridge it. Because ever we fall into sin. Look at what Romans 3:10 and verse 23 say. As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. And verse 23 says, for everyone has sinned, and we fall short of God's glorious standard. Every one of us have fallen short. Every one of us fall into sin, and sin puts us in that gap, puts that gap between us and God. Every one of us have fallen with sin, so that every one of us has that gap, and we don't have the means in ourselves to overcome it. But Jesus builds a bridge to God with the cross. Jesus builds a bridge to God. That he actually bridges that gap so that he could justify us. He can put things right between us and God with the cross. Make amends for our sins so that no longer is the guilt and shame brought against us, but we are freed from that. We get the blood of Jesus covering our sins. The scripture says we are clothed in his righteousness. It's as though that God looks at us and instead of seeing our unrighteousness and our failures, our sin, sees instead the righteousness and the holiness, the purity, the love and grace of Jesus Christ covering us. And so that we're clothed in him. Jesus builds the bridge to God. Romans 5:6 says this, that when you and I were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us. Again, we were helpless. Couldn't bridge that gap on our own. He died for us. And here in Colossians again, it says this. This is the verse we read earlier. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet, now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he brought you into his presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Again, Christ, you see, has created the bridge. He gives us a way to be forgiven of our sin and brought near with God. He can overcome our sin in that fashion so that there really is a bridge now in Christ to be made right with God, to have peace with God. Remember last Sunday, I told you that, you know, whenever people come along saying, well, I try to do a lot of good things, I try to be a religious person, that's trying to build a bridge across. Trying to do it on your own. And then they end up saying, and I hope it's enough, I hope it works out. That's no hope at all. But in Christ, when you gain this peace with God that says, I'm forgiven. How? Through the blood of Christ. He died for me on the cross. I confess my sins, my need for him, and I confess that he died for my sins. I claim him and surrender up my life to him. And you gain a peace with God that is witnessed to by his Holy Spirit and that in turn comes into your life. Both witnessed to by his word, which is crucial, that you build on God's promises in his word, and then affirmed in your life by the presence of his Holy Spirit so that you and I now have that bridging, so that you and I who are afar away have been brought into his presence. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives. You and I are in the presence of God. You and I have the Lord dwelling within, that you and I, in fact, we had seen become the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we are brought near. We are made blameless. The gap of sin has been bridged. But now here's the part where we're going to go beyond Billy Graham. This is good. This is the new stuff, the good stuff. All right. So this is all fresh, okay? So Jesus then does this. He builds a bridge to others through us. He builds a bridge to others through us. And you see that gap that's still there, and that there's a need for a bridge that would bridge others to Christ. Jesus does that. Now look, here's what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20. It says, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So now we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Isn't this remarkable that Jesus is making this appeal? Jesus all about building a bridge to God. We become all about then building a bridge to Jesus for others. And so that you bring that together and you see this incredible work of God. That Christ died on the cross. He was all in. The scripture said that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And so that Christ came into this world with that grand purpose. It was a purpose, in fact, that Colossians says was set in place before the foundation of the world. That this was always this plan of God, knowing that we would have this gap created by sin, that there would have to be one who would come and bridge that gap. Jesus is that one. but then in turn to know that God now is reaching out to others through us. Now, please, don't miss the fact that this is not solely, you know, resting on us, that it's like, oh, man, it's all up to you. Get out there and get people right with God, you know. You have to do it. You do it, you know, like it's all on you by yourself. Listen, the Holy Spirit is working in you and I. The Holy Spirit is already working in other people independently of us. God is working to reach into people's lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the Word of God is heard in people's lives, the Spirit is always there and enlivening God's Word and wanting to produce that response in people's lives to the truth of God's Word, so that the Word of God is there, the power of the Holy Spirit is there. But don't miss what the Scripture said there in 2 Corinthians. It said that you and I are those through whom God is now working to bring this message of reconciliation to the world, that we are, that God is making His appeal through us. So that we see it, that we are now all about this building a bridge to Jesus for others. This is this incredible work of God to reach out to others. In fact, if we go back to our original passage now, in 1 Peter chapter 2, remember again what it said. It said, look, welcome to the living stone. That's Jesus, the source of life. The workman took one look and threw it out, but God set it in place, in a place of honor. Now, you and I present yourselves as building stones for the construction of a sanctuary vibrant with life, in which you'll serve as holy priests, offering Christ-approved lives up to God. Jesus has been about building that bridge. He set that bridge in place. He is the bridge to God, to being right with God, to being saved, to having salvation walked in our lives. But now in turn, He says, you now are my building blocks in this world. You now are the building blocks that I'm building this work of a temple, that you are in fact not though just blocks of stone, but you're here to offer up your lives as priests, making offerings before God into this world, so that this is now your mission. So it's a vital and living kind of witness. Now, we've been seeing the cross now as this bridge, but I want you to take this idea of a bridge and just hang on to it and kind of work with it with me for a few minutes. This is a particular bridge that I brought before you. This is an arch bridge. You know, a lot of times you'll cross over an old stone bridge, and it may be just one arch that's built. You go through a tunnel, and it has an arch built over it, and that sort of thing. But of course, this one has multiple arches in order to bridge all the way across that gap and get across that river. Now, this, I think, is a picture that may help us even more than seeing ourselves as a temple, which tends to be looking at ourselves as this box, this object that sits there, and that we're saying, okay, here it is, come and get it. We look at the church a lot that way. We tend to, because we build buildings, we build cathedrals, we build places of worship, all those kind of things, it's like, boom, there it is, we build it, and you will come. And we tend to think even of ourselves, especially if you describe us as the temple, being building blocks to build a temple for God, we tend to think in those same terms. We're just being built into good Christian folk, and maybe sometime or another, somebody will come by and want to join in on that. And that's not the picture of this at all. And this is why I believe a bridge helps us to recognize this perhaps more dynamically. Because this bridge, having all of these arches, I choose for a very important reason, very important picture. Because this is about building a living bridge that reaches to God. And that living bridge is this, a living bridge of people building bridges of relationship that lead to God. So that you can see each of those arches of bridge like a relationship that is arcing over another gap and bringing them closer and closer and closer. Peter says this as he continued on, as we had read earlier. It says, but you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, what? God's instruments to do His work and speak out for Him, to tell others of the night and day difference He made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. You get this idea then that this is about the bridge building is about building relationships. relationships that can reach out to someone else and make them aware of the night and day difference that God makes in your life and that God can make in their life. It's about building bridges that allow people to finally encounter Christ, who is the bridge that brings us into a right walk with God and brings us that peace with God. So listen, if we could take those arcs and begin to picture them, for example, like this. And I know the print's a little bit small, but I had to squeeze all that onto the screen all at once. So here's what it's about. Take that first arch. That might be somebody's Christian grandma. Somebody's got a Christian grandma that's built up their life, has talked to them about Jesus, taught them how to sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Maybe took them along to church now and then. Maybe got them into Sunday school. Maybe got them going along to vacation Bible school in the summer and some things like that. And there's that relationship that makes that first contact, that brings that first contact with Jesus Christ into that person's life and maybe plants that seed there in their life. And then maybe there's another relationship that then connects to that, a Sunday school teacher, a children's ministry person, maybe someone who shares with them at vacation Bible school in the summer. And there they have built this, they've gained this relationship where there's this person who becomes somehow special in their life, someone that they remember something about them that was somehow touching to their life. Maybe there was a Bible verse that they taught to them. Maybe there was something that they said about how God loves them that sinks in, and that it's something that they kind of hold on to, even if they don't understand it all. There's something that was imparted there, and that they kind of hang on to, and that relationship that's there becomes this memory, this point of contact that's like a stepping stone onto the next piece of it. And then maybe there's a Christian coworker that comes into that person's life as they come to be a grown-up. Because listen, maybe after having a Christian grandma, maybe after, you know, having the impact of some children's ministry leader, or maybe a youth leader in their life, having some sort of an impact at a point in their life, maybe they got wayward. Maybe they even got really negative about the church. Maybe they decided that it's all a bunch of garbage and that they want to get out there and have some fun. They want to move on with their life without that kind of baggage. Or maybe they never really saw it as important at all in the first place, other than grandma had that sense that it was important. And other than that time when they saw something in that children's ministry person that somehow put a little spark in their soul. And then they have this Christian coworker. This person that they're working with that somehow begins to, well, just sort of catch hold of them in their heart. Maybe this Christian coworker just sort of stands out as a distinct character, as someone who has something about them that brings a peace, that brings a calm, that brings a way of dealing with life that seems attractive, that draws them in. And maybe they talk to them about Jesus a little bit. Maybe they tell them about how they go to church and do this and that. Maybe they say, well, sometime maybe I'll go with you. Maybe sometime I'll come along. Maybe that would work out sometime. And that may not happen, but then it may just kind of go along as this little conversation that every now and then comes up. Maybe there's some advice that's given because, you know, in my life experience, I've been where you are, and this is how God helped me in my life. And that coworker just begins to make a different impact upon their life. That maybe these people that are called Christian, maybe these church people, maybe they're not all hypocrites. Maybe they're not all stupid and ridiculous. Maybe they're not all weird. Maybe there's something about this that's really attractive and meaningful that coworker brings. And hey, after all, maybe there's an invitation that comes from that person, or maybe a neighbor or another friend that's in their life that says, hey, we're doing this little small group sort of exercise called Transformed, or called, you know, some other thing in the church. And it says, we're doing this little small group thing. We just get together and talk about life and talk about how God intersects with that. And we share together and that sort of thing. Would you come over? Maybe, you know, it's just a few weeks long, and think that you might find it to be interesting. And they go along and they sit in on that group. And maybe they're not all that into it at first, but as they listen to people talk about their struggles in life and talk about what God has done in their life, there's something that begins to gel. There's something that begins to dig in a little deeper. And there's this there's this moving in their life that brings them a little closer to saying, I think there is something with this. And the next thing you know, that invitation to go to church on Easter turns into, maybe I'll go back with you a month later. Maybe 2 months down the road after that, there's another time where they go along to a church event with you. And then later on at Christmas, they're back again and they keep coming. Maybe there's something about a pastor that they encounter during that time, a pastor that says something, a pastor that even builds a relationship there that goes beyond just Sunday morning, and they start to talk, and there's kind of a mentoring that sort of picks up there, and there's just this growing interest that keeps happening. Well, and then maybe there's a marriage conference at that church, and they get invited to come. Why don't you come to this marriage conference? It'll be really cool. I mean, after all, who can't do with a little bit of help in your marriage and everything? And maybe he and his wife were having some problems, or maybe she and her husband are just on the edge of getting divorced despite all their efforts. And maybe they say, yeah, we'll go to that. Sure. What can it hurt? Let's go. And they go to that marriage conference. And somewhere along the way in that marriage conference, what's been planted in their life with that grandma, what's been stirring that old scripture memory verse that vacation Bible school teacher, that Sunday school teacher taught them years ago, comes back to mind. Maybe there's something about that coworker that keeps stirring around, and then they're there at that conference and they go up and start talking to that marriage conference leader after everyone's gone, and they're talking to them afterward and saying, you know, my wife and I are struggling, you know, my husband and I have been having these problems, I couldn't even get him to come to this, but I felt like I needed to come. And that marriage conference leader says, you know something? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ into your life? Do you know what it's like to have him living in you and walking in faith like that? No, I haven't. I haven't, but I'm getting closer. I feel it. Well, listen, would you like to open up your life to Jesus? Would you like to make that turning point in your life? Because I believe that could start something new. And the next thing you know, there's that person saying, yes, I want Jesus Christ. I got to give my life to him, because the way it's going, I'm not getting anywhere. I got to get this turned around. And the next thing you know, they're back in church the next week talking about how Christ has become so real in their life. And you begin to watch them grow, and things begin to turn around in their life, and God makes such an impact and such an impression in their life that they become this vital, on fire believer in Jesus. Doesn't that sound like a fantastic story? But you begin to get the picture of what that bridge building is about. God making his appeal through us. Jesus Christ built the bridge that makes us right with God in the cross as he laid down his life for us, but then he is in turn making his appeal to others through us. He is building bridges to people's lives through you and I, that as we have relationships with other people, he's building bridges to be able to reach out to other people, to bring them into a place where they could meet Jesus, where they could come to know him, and he could become a part of their life. And it's so vital that people get the chance to experience that. Because listen, on Easter morning, in the early service, we were sharing testimonies. One of the really cool things that people were sharing was just the testimony of how Christ had come to be a part of their life. And it caught my attention that the several people sharing about their life, they said, well, I grew up in a Christian home, but I had to come to know Christ for myself at another point in my life, or after I was grown up, or sometime along the way. They said that almost apologetically, like, oh, if I grew up in a Christian home, it should have been automatic. But no, that's in fact the reality, is that each and every one of us need to be able to come to that place in our lives where we can know Jesus Christ for ourselves. That it's not just a person we've heard about, not just someone that we've seen in the life of another, but ultimately, it's that we need to come to meet Jesus Christ and know him in our own lives, to trust in him as our Savior, admitting and knowing that I need him, I need his forgiveness, I need that life-changing power of Jesus, and knowing then in turn him in our lives by the presence of God's Holy Spirit, to be able to say, man, I don't just know about this guy. I know this guy. I know Jesus, my Savior, my Lord, living in me. And I have a peace with God because of that. I am settled in this. And that's what we're ultimately reaching for. It's not just to say, well, I grew up in a Christian home, and I'm sorry to say I had to get to know Jesus later on my own. No, that's exactly what has to happen. You have to come to know him. You have to meet Jesus. You have to have that encounter. But what's happening is that whether you've been raised up in a Christian home, going to church, Sunday school, the whole nine yards, every time the doors are open, you were there as a child all the way through till you got to be an adult. Doesn't matter. You have to come to a place of knowing Him. And it doesn't matter whether you didn't grow up knowing anything about Him until somewhere down the road. The bottom line is this. God has been at work building bridges to you in your life. He's building those bridges through other people who would build relationships and be able to connect to Him. And that's what you and I are there in our lives to do. Now, one of the things that you have to understand about the importance of seeing this as an arch bridge is this. And what makes these relationships so meaningful is this. And on an arch bridge, you've got a crucial stone in that arch. It's called the keystone. And as I said earlier, whenever you talk about the foundation stone, the cornerstone, it's really that stone then that rests the corners of the building on it. And in actuality, everything in between is a bridge between those points. You can build just from corner to corner and build that bridge. But I tell you, the thing that I wanted to raise up to you, this image of an arch, is this, because in it you can see that keystone in another way. That you can see that keystone is that point that brings that arch together. It's the place where the weight of both sides come together. It's that pressure point that holds it together and makes it possible for that arch to stand and to actually connect from end to end. And again, you see that passage from the second chapter of Peter saying, "Welcome to the living stone, the source of life. The workman took one look, threw it out, but God set it where? In that place of honor. He is the key stone to whatever building project you're looking at. And look, the scripture says, I'm setting in Zion a cornerstone in the place of honor. Whoever trusts in this stone as a foundation will never have cause to regret it." Jesus, you got to understand, is always going to be that key stone in whatever it is that's being built. And if you see each of those relationships like the next arch of a bridge, then you understand it, that Jesus is in the center of each and every one of those relationships. A Christian grandma, a Sunday school teacher, a Christian co-worker, a small group study, a pastor, a marriage conference speaker, whatever it is, whatever those relationships, you understand that Jesus is that key stone that puts it all together. That it's He that makes it possible for your relationships with others to become bridges that allow people to encounter Christ, that it brings them to the place where He brings that, where Christ is able to bring us together in peace and in righteousness and forgiveness to be in a right relationship with God. Because He is that bridge who makes us right with Him. This is why our mission statement is so fitting today, to remember it, to hold on to it, to grab hold of it in our own lives, to say we are about transforming people through Christ, one relationship at a time. And what that translates to in our lives is seeing the bridge building that God is doing in our lives. He's building that bridge that brings someone another step closer to knowing Him. He builds that bridge that allows someone to know that He is there for them, to begin to draw closer and allow the Holy Spirit to bring them into that relationship where they would know Him. That happens if Christ is the keystone in your relationships with others. That means that you've got to view your relationships with others as that kind of bridge opportunity. You've got to see your relationships with your kids, with your parents, with your coworkers, with your friends, with your neighbors. You've got to see those relationships as having that potential to be a bridge that can bring someone to Christ and put Christ then in the center of that relationship. That means that you're going to pray over your relationships. Pray for those people that you're engaging with in your life. Pray for them that your relationship would somehow be for them an introduction to Christ. Be for them something that would strengthen them and draw them nearer. You're going to be seeking that in your life that you would be aware of the opportunities that come to be able to be an influence, to be a support, to be a witness of Jesus Christ. So that you're able to exercise what Peter called that holy priesthood, making offerings before God. But you begin to realize, I hope by now, that again, this is not about having this temple that's some static place where you and I are just supposed to come here and sit in on Sunday morning. If we've come here to this box and been here, then we've done God our great service, we've done our great sacrifice for the Lord, and that's nonsense. And then if we've built this and if we've come here and we've done all this show, then if somebody wants to come, well, they can come. That's not at all what God is talking about here. That's not at all what the scripture is testifying to. But it says that He is making us this royal priesthood who would have an action ministry of making our lives this living offering, that we would bear witness to the world of the night and day difference that Christ brings to life and be able to introduce others to Him. You and I need to live our lives with that consciousness that says, man, I am always, always anxious and desiring that God would give me opportunity to touch someone else's life in a way that would make a difference in bringing them to know Jesus. If you live your life that way, you can begin to see your relationships become those kind of bridges that Christ is in the midst of, that He's the key to, and that He brings people together with Him through your life, through your relationships with them. And that can happen on one of those spur-of-the-moment meetings with someone, a stranger, that you bump into along the way. And you have no idea all the bridges that God has built previous to that moment in that person's life that has brought them to right that moment, and you're there. And it's your job, your moment, your mission to be able to bless them in some way, to be able to demonstrate Christ's love to them in some way, even to right there in that moment say to them, have you ever heard of Jesus Christ? Do you know Him in your life? Let me tell you that God has made such a difference in my life. Have you ever thought about giving your life to Christ? And boom, there you are in that moment, leading someone, opening the way to heaven in their life. That starting point where they would make that turn to God in their lives. It may come through a moment of relationship with that, like that, or it may come through years, 2 years, 3 years, 40 years of building a relationship with someone. Years and years of building a relationship with someone where your hope is invested, where your love is invested, where your prayers are invested, where you are ever aware and ever desiring, God, give me a chance to influence their lives that they could meet you and come to know you in their lives. And it may take an incredible number of years for that relationship for you to see it from start to finish. You think about that grandma. And incredible whenever grandmas who started off with just a hope that they imparted with whatever means that they could into a child's life, maybe get to see that ending point one day where they say, oh my goodness, look at how you've changed. Some people get the joy of 40 years of relationship where they've been fostering that and seeing God build other bridges into that person's life through Jesus Christ working in their lives, bringing them closer and closer until that day arrives when something changes and a whole new life begins. Listen, you and I need to have our lives ever fixed on that. Christ came with that purpose of building that bridge, and now you and I live with that purpose to let Christ build bridges to other people through our lives, through our relationships, that people might be transformed by Christ. One relationship at a time is so powerful. And you and I need to live with that desire, praying for that opportunity to come in our lives. This morning, maybe there's someone that's on your heart, someone in your mind, someone that you bear a great heart burden for to say, oh, dear God Almighty, I want them to know you. I want them to be blessed. I want their lives to be changed. I want that glory to be revealed in them. And I want to be a bridge builder to their life. This morning, maybe right now, you take a moment with me and let's pray. Lord Jesus, I'm praying that you would help us to have a heart to be able to be those people who you can build bridges out of, that we could be the building blocks of those archways that you stand as the keystone to, that you are that one who is able to bring a bridge between one and another, to create a bridge that allows someone to know Jesus. We're building those bridges, God, whenever we just befriend someone and act like a Christian with them. We're building those bridges when we bother to talk about our experience and our life in Christ, when we exercise love and kindness in a measure that follows your will, your Spirit's leading. We build those bridges, God, with hearts that are fixed on it and praying for those people to know you and living, God, with that desire. So, Lord, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray today that maybe this week, that I'd love it if we would, by next Sunday, that we would have people come back with a story that says, man, I ran into this person, and the next thing you know, we were talking about God, and next thing I knew, I was telling them about how Jesus had made a difference in my life, and well, I told them that they could have him come into their lives and that God would make a difference, and they said they really wanted that. God, I just want to pray that maybe even by next Sunday we'd have some glories to be revealed. God, I'm praying that even by the end of this year that we'd be passionately invested, and by the end of this year there would be new lives started, new hope that has been brought to life in Christ in somebody that we know, somebody we love, somebody we care about, somebody, Lord, that we are investing our lives in. We just want to pray, God, that you give us those kind of opportunities because, God, this is amazing that you would make your appeal to other people through us, that we would be your ambassadors, that we would be the building blocks you would use to reach others. So, Lord, use us to reach others and let us enjoy that glory of having you right smack in the middle, the keystone of our relationships that allows someone to meet you right there in the midst of that relationship. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, for your glory and praise. Amen.
More than words can say, I need.